Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, I am Coach LaLisa, and I am excited about being here. This is going to be an awesome, awesome day. As you know, this is Wednesday, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, and we have joining us this morning, as we do each and every Wednesday, for about 7 or 8 months now, the midweek inspirational teacher, Mr. Versi L. Walker. So Mr. Versi L. Walker is here with us in our virtual studio. And good morning, Mr. Walker. How are you?
You know what? Good morning, young lady. I'm doing splendid. I'm doing fantastically well.
So have you de-iced?
You know what? We didn't get it too bad in the north, which I'm surprised. They are anticipating, you know, more stuff to come, but I don't see anything. I was just looking at the news and see that my family there in Chicago got hit extremely hard from 25 feet waves on Lakeshore Drive, shutting down the Lakeshore Drive. Lakeshore Drive is the equivalent, I guess, of the West Side Highway over there by the Hudson River. And also they got almost 2.5 feet of snow, and it's bad. But here, we didn't get it yet. So I know things are still anticipating coming between 9 and 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but right now we're okay. We're okay.
Well,
did I lose you?
Yes, I'm looking also at the news and seeing how Chicago hit really, really, really bad. Also seeing that, yeah, so we definitely lift up our prayers to those individuals out there. They talked about
The winds, you know, gusting in at so many miles and miles an hour, coming from Cincinnati, Ohio, where I grew up. A lot of times we would, you know, experience a lot of the weather that Chicago was having. Very similar, especially with the low temperatures. Very low temperatures. Yeah, with the wind chill factor, sometimes 20, 30, 40, 50 below zero. Well, you've got to stay warm. We know that a lot of businesses, a lot of schools are closed, like Bergen County, a lot of their schools are closed here over here in New Jersey. We also have many of the colleges are on 2 and 3 hour delays. And they've already had so many closings over the past 30 days or so anyway. But, yeah, the whole Ridgewood School District closed and Saddlebrook, New Jersey. So a lot of closings here in New Jersey. So you might want to check your school before you go heading out. And I know. So anyway, well, we just pray that everyone, oh, my goodness, look at that car spinning. You've got to use common sense when you're doing these kinds of things. So we're going to get out of the way and let Mr. Walker bring to you his dynamic topic, and then we'll come back, you know, at the end of the show and give you some more highlights. And hopefully you were here yesterday for our big, big, big announcement. If you missed it, don't worry. I'll focus on it tomorrow a little bit. I want to also congratulate those of you, if it's your first time tuning in, thank you. You know, congratulations for having the courage to jumpstart your life, to turn your life around, to keep your life on track, or even take your life to even a higher, higher level. So, Mr. Versie Walker, good morning and welcome, our midweek Wednesday motivator. Take it away.
You know what? Thank you, Coach. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone, and truly, truly be safe out there. Again, we're watching the news here just to make sure everything is safe, and I'm praying for everyone who's out there and who has to be out there. The newscasters, you know, again, I send my thanks to you to be brave enough to go out there and to try to weather the storm. We're looking at just icy conditions. Those inexperienced drivers, don't go anywhere. Don't, you know, try to go to a friend's house or to see a girlfriend or boyfriend. It is not worth it. I was 18, 19, and 21 not too long ago, Coach, not too long ago, just a few weeks ago, and I did foolish things like that with, you know, a small, compact car going out there to see people or visit people. And what happened with me is that reality sunk in is that I went to go visit an ex-girlfriend, and I went to visit her, and when I went to visit her, it was conditions much like this, cars spinning out, trucks coming at you, and it was, you know, something I shouldn't have done. And my mom tried to warn me against it, but I went anyway just to get there and then kind of be insulted by her parents, who said, you know what, she can't go. You know, she can't go anywhere you're trying to take her. I value her life too much. And so I was, you know, willing to risk my life, and the person I was going to see, their parents and even themselves weren't willing to go out there and do the same thing I was doing to see and meet this young lady. So, people, it is not worth it. If you don't have to go out, don't, especially these early hours where the ground is still cold and frozen and your car is maybe not adjusted. And I don't care if you have an SUV, all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive. Especially the bigger the car, just more metal, more rubber, more glass to slide even faster. So take care of yourself. With that being said, people, good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday to you. Not happy New Year's, but happy Wednesday. I hope that everyone has had a wonderful and safe week thus far. As always, I'm excited and glad to be here, to be a part of this midweek inspiration, and to join each and every one of you as I share and as I speak and as we, you know, bond and grow closer together with one another, especially in this new year. And I continuously say this, but this is the season. I feel this emphatically, that everyone in our midst, everyone in the sound of my voice, is in their season. This will be your year. For some, it was January starting off. So for others, it may be March. and then others even more. It may be August, but I believe 2011 is your year. So, again, I do thank you for joining us. And many thanks to, you know, you, Coach, once again for allowing me to share my experiences and positive messages with you as well as the listeners. Just a quick update. There's nothing really new to report as it relates to me. I'm still plugging away on my second book, and it's coming along a lot faster than I thought it would. I recall 2 years ago when I was writing my first book, in this same time period, I was probably on page 46 or 50 on my new endeavor, my new venture towards my destination and my goal of entrepreneurship, one who creates and develops products and services to share with others. And so I was probably on page 46, and here I am now on my second book, halfway done with the process, and I'm doing so many other things. Because, Coach, I know I haven't been very visible out there on Facebook and in communicating a lot because I've been in the lab. I'm creating and expanding my brand and looking at products and services to align myself with other individuals who are looking to do the same and grow their business and step out on faith a little bit further to go ahead and enjoy this due season. So I've been quite busy, and then as things get closer, I will report back to each and every one of you and let you know how the process is going because I like to keep everybody involved. Now, for anyone wishing to learn more about me, And to secure an autographed copy of my book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, visit me at www.versiewalker.com. That's V as in victory, ERSIEWALKER.com. And if you purchase your book directly through me, not only would I autograph it, but when we're talking about due season, we're talking about changing, building our business, building our brand, expanding ourselves, we need to have a plan. When you make that purchase, I will also include my 26-page million-dollar mind business plan. And this plan is actually an outline or a blueprint of all the information that you would have if you were to create your business from scratch, from the plan, finances, what you have saved up, what your goals are, the timeline. And this is something that you would present to a bank, a credit union, or just to someone who you may want to invest in your business or to keep you on track with the progression of your business. So, again, if you go to www.versiewalker.com, you can find out more about me and what I'm doing, as well as grab a copy or secure a copy of my book, Success, How I Ended Up Here. Now, Coach, today I want to touch on or speak on the topic of confidence and leadership. Confidence and leadership. These two things are mission critical, key critical, or essential when it comes to being successful. And without it or without them, you won't attain the level of success that you seek. Now, for me, Coach, when I first started out in sales some 20 years ago, I was lost, overwhelmed, and just flat-out naive, not understanding the industry, not believing in the process, not understanding the marketing component of sales, just looking at sales. When it came down to picking up the telephone and cold calling a stranger, this was the last thing or the least favorite thing I wanted to do. For me, it was just right up there with going to the dentist, and that was the last thing I ever thought about doing, especially during that time. I would literally sit at my desk for hours after hours, staring at name after name on a long list of purchase leads. And I tried to do everything possible to avoid picking up the phone, in making that one call. I would check my mail. I would look at the phone, and I would double-check to make sure the phone had a dial tone. I would do everything, go to the washroom, go get something to drink. I would do everything to avoid that process and would hope that on the fifth ring, because at that time I would let it ring five times, no one would pick up. Now, this behavior continued even when I moved to direct or face-to-face sales, especially if I had to call on someone first. So if you came into the hardware where I worked at or to the store I worked at, that was no problem. I could deal with that. If you needed something in aisle 7, I could take you to aisle 7. But that wasn't a salesperson. I may have had the word sales, you know, tattooed on my shirt. The item may have been on sale, but I wasn't a salesperson. If they looked for a ceiling fan and it was advertised in the paper and it was in aisle 12, I can take them to aisle 12. And that was probably to the extent of my sales at that point. But if I had to be a direct salesperson and make face-to-face plus contact the prospect, that wasn't something I wanted to do. Now, as ridiculous as this may sound, I never really considered sales as a lifelong career move. I found many ways to just justify my actions or my inactions with excuses on every level. All the while, I was simply sabotaging any possibilities of success. And I didn't realize that. I was my worst enemy. I was in my own way because of my mindset, because of how I perceived the business and or industry. Now, I am certain that my inability to perform exceptionally came from a lack of confidence, lack of leadership, and not fully understanding this beast, this industry, the sales component that is utilized in almost every aspect of our lives, from dating to job security to even purchasing or renting your home. There is a sales component, and you're on one side or the other. You're either selling or being sold. And people don't realize that. And so the one thing that we've probably been doing all of our life, the convincing aspect, even as a child, doing it to your parents. You know what, Mom, can I go outside, or either can I get my ear pierced? That's selling. You're going to give them an and or? Well, they don't want you to go outside, and darn sure don't want you to get your ear pierced. Well, you got to give me one. They don't have to, but you're selling or convincing or conveying and giving this and or process or this and or proposition. And you've been doing it pretty much all of your life, and I know I was. But again, I lacked confidence. I lacked leadership, and I didn't have the full grasp, the gravity, or the depth of this industry. Now, when I did finally call on a lead, I did so with reluctancy, and looking back on it now, because I wasn't confident, it came across as someone who was weak, needy, and perhaps appeared desperate. The reason is because I was. I was desperate and needy, and the client or prospect could sense this. And they had a field day giving me the runaround. Believe me. Believe me. Oh, yeah, come to my house at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday to sell me your product. I'll be there. Ring the doorbell, nobody's there. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Come back on Tuesday. Yeah, at 12 in the afternoon. I'll be there. Constantly getting the runaround because I didn't have the confidence and I lacked leadership and didn't command the situation, didn't have control. Now, needless to say, I was hopeless and definitely felt powerless in each of these situations because, again, I wasn't confident in my execution and my results, although they were desired, they never materialized. Now, this, believe it or not, is the feeling among most individuals in the sales industry, newbies and veterans alike. Each of these individuals are struggling with acquiring new customers, building relationships, and closing the sale. The pressure is on and competition is fierce. This is why it concerns me so much with the resurgence and the burst of multi-level marketing companies and direct marketing companies that are going on today. These individuals may not fully grasp entrepreneurship, business ownership, or sales. And so they're getting into an industry and they're not being guided, trained, or led the right way, especially in today's economic environment. There is a difference out there with the internet, social media, and other ways of generating leads and opportunities that some people aren't being showed. And they go through a vicious cycle from company to company, opportunity to opportunity, and then they get exhausted. They feel defeated, and they won't continue on this journey of business ownership. As I told you guys a couple months ago, the opportunities to be self-employed millionaires will be the greatest opportunity within this decade. If you can commit, convince, create, and convey an idea, product, or concept, you can run with it as never before. There will be more millionaires created within this decade than ever before. And those individuals will be self-employed individuals who go out there and grab the bull by its horns and take control. But you must have confidence, and you must be able to be a leader. Now, people, listen to me and understand. Until you prove to your prospects that you can add or bring value to them and show them that you are a leader, they will not follow you. And can you blame them? Chasing down leads and prospects, trying to ram your so-called opportunity or product down their throats is not the way to convince anyone that you have something of value. The sooner you can convey this, the sooner you will begin to take control. Then you can begin to attract those who you want to do business with and who you will allow in your inner circle. See, as business people, we don't believe, understand, or realize that we are in control and that we can choose to or not to do business with certain individuals. When you consider a doctor or an attorney, they select their clients. They realize that all money ain't good money, and that every person who is in need of their services may not be able to be in their circle, or they cannot accommodate each and every individual. They would like to be selective, so they have every mechanism in place, from a receptionist to an assistant to anyone, that you have to go through the gatekeeper first before even being introduced to them. And they would then interview you and go through their selection process to decide if you're the kind of person they wish to do business with. Colleges do this all the time, especially when they're looking at scholarships and opportunities. They would rather give you a full ride scholarship today if they see potential in you for the future. Well, why so, Versi? What do you mean by that? Because if your college experience is as great as they anticipate making it for you, and you go on to do wonderful things out here in the universe, then you would probably be more compelled to then donate back to the school in the future. You would be a contributor, and they would perhaps be able to, over time, recoup more of your education, the financial part, throughout the years, and then as that celebrity or that famous or that wonderful person is doing great things, you will then recommend and suggest others to do the same. And if you're doing wonderfully well, others will look to you. Wait a minute, if you went to Cheney, maybe I should look at Cheney. They will make more money off of you by giving you a free scholarship if you should excel as they envision. So even they go through the process of elimination and who they want to do business with. Excuse me. People, why aren't you? Now, the best way to build confidence, if it's confidence that you are lacking, would be to project it. Project confidence. Project assured confidence in everything that you do, from your dress attire to your voice variation to how you conduct business. This will set you apart from the average person out there today. If this is not who you are normally, then change. Everything that you have done in life is learned behavior, and you can unlearn bad behavior, and you can learn new behavior. Learn to project confidence in everything that you do. This is a must. This is a must in order for you to be successful, if that's your desire, if that's the realm in which you would like to be in, or to be considered as someone who's successful. When building your business, it's best to establish up front who's in control and what type of clientele you want to be a part of your business. It's better to have a handful of high-quality clients that you can depend on and that you can manage than it is to have a whole lot of average clients you have to constantly chase down and handhold. I will repeat this. It is better to have a handful of high-quality clients that you can depend on and can manage than it would be to have a whole lot of average clients you have to constantly chase down and handhold. Highly compensated professionals in all industries have their ways of weeding out the undesirables. People understand that. They understand fully the value of their time and the value that each client can bring. I just gave you an example of that when I talked about the universities. When they're giving out scholarships, when they're giving out opportunities, they're looking at the value that each student can bring. Not today, but at some point in time in the future. They're planting seeds. They're doing what we're talking about, Coach. They're planting seeds and cultivating it, and they're watching it grow. If they do that 100 times a year, they may only get back 10% of that. That's 10 people that maybe then could, you know, donate, you know, millions of dollars over a course of years, over their lifetime. But they're weeding out the undesirables, and they only want to deal with certain quality people. And that's understandable. That's understandable. Clients should feel honored to work with you, and not the other way around, people. Clients should feel a certain level of esteem for being a part of your organization, for being able to just come right in and get served immediately, or to be able to, you know, call, and when they say their name, the gatekeeper automatically knows to put them through. Because of the relationship, because of what you bring, because of the value that you add to their lives. You're in control, and therefore, you should act like it. The way to guarantee control over everything or every situation in your life is to express confidence. In sales situations, especially during a sales presentation, people, if you're asked a question, you should defer it or delay your response, perhaps by asking the prospect or client a question as well. Doing so will allow you to maintain control over the presentation and to stay on topic until you decide when it's appropriate to respond. As an example, a customer is saying something like this. Is this another one of those multi-level marketing schemes? At that point, you should take a deep breath and you should ask, or state? This is a good question. Are you looking for another multi-level marketing scheme? Or another example, the customer says to you, are you trying to sell me something? You can simply say, if I'm allowed to finish with my presentation, I'm certain that all your questions will be answered. So if you don't mind, I would like to wait until then and finish the process. Or, believe it or not, people, you should simply ignore their questions altogether and just continue on with your presentation. This is not rude if it's done the right way. But what you're doing is you're maintaining control. The moment you answer or respond to a question, it's like in any other situation, especially negative situation, when you dignify what someone says with an answer or response, you've lost control. They now will continue on that path to distract you or derail you from your stated mission, from what you're trying to accomplish. And sometimes those things are negative, and I know they pinch the back of your neck, especially for you salespeople who are on the call right now. But the same measure that you would do for your teenager who's asking you a ridiculous question that you know that you've actually told them about, talked about, or they know better than asking you, just don't respond. They don't know one way or the other if, in fact, you're satisfied or that it bothered you. But knowing that you stayed on track and that you stayed on focus, you can then go back to the question later. You can then go back to say, so now does this seem like another scheme? Does this seem like I'm selling you something? I'm offering you an opportunity. It's up to you based on the information and the facts. I want to give you the presentation so that you can make an informed decision and you can decide if this is something that you would like to be a part of. You're in control. Doing this will keep you in control. This will position you as an impressive leader. In reality, if you're not a leader, then you're a follower. And who wants to be led by a follower? This technique also distinguishes you as an expert and not some newbie. And for me, Coach, it was difficult because I got my hand spanked several times in sales presentations by managers or when we tandemly went at a customer. When I did this, when I responded, when I thought I had to answer them, when I had to say, wait a minute, hold on, it's in slide 15. You know, right now we're on slide 4. We'll get to that. I got chastised back at the office or back in the car heading back to the office because That did not distinguish me as an expert. It did not set me apart from everyone else. It proved, and I thought I knew what I was doing, but it proved that I wasn't a professional. It proved that I wasn't proficient or that I lacked confidence. Because when something's thrown at you adversely or sets you back on your heels, it's how you respond that makes the difference. A guy who gets knocked out in the ring doesn't mean he lost. It's what he says when he gets back up or how he responds when he gets back up that lets you know he's a loser. Because there's been many a champions who got knocked down in the first and second ring, round, and then in round 10 became victorious. So do we talk about the round 2 and round 1 knockout or the fact that he walked away with the purse and the belt? And the championship. It's how you respond and how you react or don't act that makes the difference. And I had to learn the hard way. Now, understand this. People search and seek out experts. They know emphatically that experts have all the answers. And they want to be associated with greatness. Everyone I know would like to be associated with greatness. This gives them a great sense of power to be able to have access to the Lalisas of the world, to be able to say, you know what, look at my Facebook page. I took a picture with President Obama. Or look at where I am at. I'm in the same hotel room that Mariah Carey stayed at. That gives individuals a sense of power, that they are amongst, in the midst, or part of someone or something that's great. Why wouldn't you want to give them that same thing? It only lends an edge to your success and your progression. I say again, it adds to your success and your progression. Listen to me, selfish people. Those who are selfish and wanting it to be all about them, this will make it all about you. It will help to do that. Now, others wish to associate themselves with those they believe will help them achieve a certain level of success. People seek out the best of the best, the best chiropractors, the best plastic surgeons, the best mechanics. They want to be associated with those people that they know, hands down, can help them achieve a certain level of success with very little effort, because they, again, have the answers. This is all a simply, you know, a learned technique, people. And you can develop it to attract high-quality individuals into your world. You have the choice here. You have the power. And I think for so long, Coach, we've been giving that power away. We've been downplaying, as I said, our blessing on last week. We haven't been standing and wearing our favor, so we don't feel confident that we are worthy of this type of calling, or that we're worthy of this type of adoration. We just don't, and I don't know why, people. Where did it happen? When did it stop? Why did we let it go? I ask again in this new season, the one I believe is here for all of us, that we take hold of this and we go back to regaining our confidence. Now, you've seen this. It's been done, you know, perhaps 100 times. You've seen your boss project confidence. You've definitely seen it on TV, especially during the 007 Jane Bond series, or the Donald himself. Look at this man sitting there on The Apprentice, telling people, my time is valuable and you're breathing the same air I breathe, and you should feel fortunate. You should be honored to be in the same room with me. And those individuals feel and believe that. They believe that it is an honor to breathe the same air as this man. No, these people have the same opportunity as this man, but they don't have the confidence. For him, it's probably life experiences, getting knocked down so many times, being humiliated and laughed at. That's the only way for him to survive. And for him, it has played out well in his life. It gives him those carte blanche situations. But people, it will and can work for you as well. Trust me. Been there, done that, and got the hat to match. Now, all charismatic leaders have an enticing allure about themselves, which makes others want to be in their midst at whatever the cost. Madame Mata Hari had influential men and women of her time travel from all over. They came from miles around just to be near her, and they paid dearly for the privilege to do so. This woman kept a veil on. She kept a mask on and showed just, you know, slight aspects of her body. Maybe a shoulder was revealed, maybe her belly was revealed, but just slight. But how she walked and how she moved made men and women lose their minds. She knew how to command an audience. Her entrance stopped everyone in the room. They did not dare breathe until she walked past and gave them, subliminally, the right to do so, because she was in full control and knew her power and knew that she had the capability. She was probably no different than any other woman who stood in the room, but she projected herself different. That's what the Queen of England does. That's what kings do. That's what all great men and women do. They position themselves as great and as experts, and then we validate it by saying it and acting accordingly. So what you think about, you bring about. How many times have I told you guys that? Now, being confident will give you freedom. It will give you, people, the freedom to choose. Freedom and confidence to associate with like-minded people and to take on challenges that give you pleasure. To lead your life in a direction that you feel you're worthy of. To take opportunities, take advantage of opportunities, to do things that you may not have dreamed of or that others have never dreamed about. This is what being confident will get you. And I don't mean arrogant. By no means do I mean to be arrogant. But to be confident, to be convinced that you are and that you can do any and everything that you think about. You can bring about several different results in your world and your affairs, and you can start by doing it today. Being confident in your delivery, in your appearance, in your presentation. Being confident when you ask for that coffee. Stop wavering. If you want a double frappe latte, ask for it. If you have the money to pay for it, ask for it. If you're paying for a service and it's not being delivered, ask for it. Be confident. You have a right to. There is no reason to be afraid of Verizon when the bill comes and you lost services for, 2 days, 3 days of the month in which they billed you for, and you see that they didn't deduct it. Why not call them and say, you know what? I didn't get 30 days worth of service. On day X, Y, and Z, my services were lost, and I don't see that you have refunded me back for that. And I'll pay the bill once you have corrected the billing cycle or the statement. Why wouldn't you? Because they're coming for you and asking for what they have earned or what they feel they deserve. Why shouldn't you? Be confident in your delivery. Project confidence again, people, in everything that you do because it provides you more freedom than you have ever imagined. Now, regardless of what you are doing, regardless of what you are selling or offering, people won't buy you or your products or buy into your concept on its face value, not until they buy into you. You're the product, people. The number one product is you. And until you figure this out, you will not become successful. Coach, it kills me when I see a hairdresser whose hair, and I'm going to be ironically incorrect, but whose hair ain't done. Or an auto mechanic whose car is always dirty and broke down. This bugs the heck out of me. Why don't they realize that they are the product? They represent their offer. These individuals can spend a whole lot less money and time trying to convince me or others of their talents and skills if they were to display their product prominently. And when I say in this context, when I say their product, I'm talking about themselves. If they were to display themselves prominently, they could spend a lot less money advertising and a lot less time talking to me, trying to convince me how successful and how great they're doing and how wonderful their opportunity that they're trying to present to me could be. For instance, let's look at it this way. If I sold Mary Kay Cosmetics, I would spend my days learning how to apply the makeup on myself so perfectly so that every time I went out in the public, people would break their necks looking at how flawless I looked and would find themselves apologizing for disturbing me as they're trying to find out who does my makeup. That's how you present your product, people. You wear it well, and folks will come running with money in hand for whatever you choose to sell them. See, I plan in the next 3 to 5 years to start a men's clothing line and a cologne and perfume line. Coach, you better believe that every time I walk out the door, I will be wearing my brand. When people say, oh, wow, that's a lovely smell of cologne, who is it by? I will, again, be my representation. I will be my display case. When I pull back my jacket and they see my insignia inside of it, they will then rush to Google my name. They will then rush to go to the website in which I will have it furnished with all my wares. I will wear, as I currently do, my confidence, my leadership, and my product prominently. And I will have it displayed, and I won't be ashamed. Calvin Klein wasn't ashamed to have everybody wear his clothes and underwear. Sean Puffy Combs is not ashamed to be the brand, to have his face plastered on every billboard he can find and in every place he can have it, because he knows about brand awareness. He knows about having his brand at top of mind. Every other industry has done it. IBM, they put their logo right on their product. Apple puts their logo right on their product. Everybody else does it. The Golden Arches does it. Walmart does it on those plastic bags. They may pay 2 cents more a bag, but they have their name Walmart plastered on their bag. Was that for you? No, that was because they need you to be a running commercial continuously, so that everybody sees where to go to buy those products or services. People, put yourself atop of mind. That's how you present your product. Again, you wear it well, and others will run. They will flock to you effortlessly. You won't have to sell anymore. You won't have to convince. You won't have to convey. You won't have to be knocking on someone's door at 9 o'clock in the evening while you see the lights on and the curtains move and they don't even come to answer the door. You won't have to do follow-ups on people who won't follow you. You'll get those handful of high-quality customers and people that want to be a part of your life that can enhance you because they know the benefit of associating with someone like yourself. Ultimately, when it comes to providing a service, promoting your business, or selling an opportunity, the outcome relies on you, people. As I just said, you're the product. People are sizing you up. They're examining you to see the benefits. I mean, you know, I've never seen a successful, wealthy, you know, business person who didn't look like it. And those who did, I may not have thought they had on, you know, $2,000 jeans. And for example, Coach, I was in Maryland at one of the malls. I think it was Columbia, Maryland, which is right outside of D.C., and I went to Saks Fifth Avenue, went down to the basement, and I'm looking at Prada and a few other items. Prada Speedo underwear was $400. The Prada neoprene jacket was $1,200. And some Ralph Lauren slacks were $1,600. So had I had the financial wherewithal and desire to buy these three items, I would have been walking around almost $5,000 worth of attire that to my untrained natural eye did not look more than $350 worth of material. But because of the name and the status, those things are highly valued. But I would have never known that. So there's people who are walking around wearing items such as this, $500, $1,200, $1,500 jeans, $500 belts, $1,200 shoes, but I don't know that. So I wouldn't know what to look for. I look for the other things, the obvious, the gold watches, the Mercedes, and this, that, and the other. But there are wealthy people among us people who would rather throw away their shirt before getting it dry clean because they can go buy another. But their outcome, their success, relies on them. People will, you know, let me ask you these questions, or what you should probably be asking yourself when you're thinking of how you are displaying, how you are portraying, or how you are representing yourself and your product. Do you have a charming personality? Do you offer something of value? Are you consistent? Are you positioned as a leader or as an expert? Will there be power to be gained in association with you? This is what you should be asking yourself. These are the type of questions as you're building your brand, as you're displaying your product, as you are offering your opportunity. These are the questions that you should be asking, because believe it or not, others around you and those you will come in contact with certainly are. They're asking these type of questions. Who is she? Why is he? And what benefit is it to me? We're so gung-ho on talking about the features of a product, we never outline or identify or capture the benefits. No one buys a product solely because of the features. And no one would buy a product solely from you because of your puppy dog eyes or because somebody referred them. They have to see something in you. And the way to have value is to gain knowledge, to come on more shows like this, to buy the products and services that we're offering or that we're recommending to you, because knowledge is key. And the more knowledge you have towards an application, a process, or a service, the more you align yourself as an expert. And then people will always refer to you. Some would do that selfishly because they don't want to do the work themselves. Others would do it just out of sheer respect because they know you know the answer. They know that you can solve their problem. They know that you have a solution. And they will come to you. And they will even come to you on ideas and thoughts that are outside of your realm of expertise. Because if you're good in one thing, they feel you're good in a whole lot of others. That's a nice place to be. That ensures your stability. That ensures and guarantees your value and your worth to your company, corporation, or yourself. It will keep you in the loop. It will keep you in the know in every situation, people. But you have to take the reins. You have to display confidence, and you need to become a leader in your church, a leader in your organization. Heck, a leader in your own home. Some people ain't been home a long time, and I mean mentally. They go there every day physically, but they haven't had the confidence or the conviction to change their circumstances. And they're living a subservient life. And as I told you, I came across that way in my presentations oftentimes as needy, as desperate, as weak, and wondered why people wouldn't follow my suggestion or my advice because I wasn't even living it. I'm offering products and services that I didn't even use or that I didn't have full knowledge of because I didn't take the time to invest and learn more about the process as well as the product, but then to find the benefit and forget everything else. When you come there suited up with your armor, people know you're prepared for war. When you come with your documentation, you know, typed, information ready, time stamped and dated, people know that you come to do business. When you arrive fumbling, stumbling, and bubbling, people know that you're not prepared. People know that you're not ready for this opportunity. Enough of us here watch Idol and you see it every week and you laugh at the circumstance, the situation, and you ask yourself, why would they do that? Why haven't somebody told them that they can't sing? Because people don't have the confidence to tell people the truth. Maybe they can't sing. Maybe they're tone deaf. But they may have writing skills that perhaps if they were directed long time ago, they maybe focus on that and sell their writings to other musicians, actors, stars, that they would have an opportunity to be in this industry, but not in the front, but work in the back and still have the same freedoms and privileges as everybody else. We must have the confidence and conviction and the leadership skills to tell people that, but more importantly, to tell ourselves. So for all you people who are establishing your business plan this year, your plan of action, for each and every one of you who have your whiteboard up and your pegboard up and your dream board up, and you're looking at this year and you're saying maybe in March or maybe in April I'm going to dive one out there and do what I need to do, you need to start internalizing these words on a daily basis. I must be confident. I must project myself as a leader and as an expert in my respective field. Otherwise, you're going to belabor or delay the process, and you won't have the success that you're looking for, people. You should walk into a room and change the temperature. You should be able to walk into a room and all eyes are on you. Because, again, how you prominently display your product, your air of confidence, the manner in which you hold your hand. I was on a cruise, and me and my family, my 5-year-old, 10-year-old daughter, and 13-year-old daughter was on the cruise with me, and how they held their hand and how they put their napkin on their lap. There was across from us 3 generations of family members, 3 ladies, 3 generations, that had never been on a cruise before. They watched my daughters and my children with deliberate detail, and everything that my children ordered, they ordered. The way my children held the glass, they held the glass. This amazed me. But they identified immediately that someone else had success or someone else knew the process, and they lent their attention to my children because they displayed a certain level of confidence because we go to restaurants. We have been on cruises. We do things in a deliberate fashion because we want all eyes on us in a positive way because we want to impact the world positively. And the best way to do it is to be your own demonstration. Be your best representation. People, go out there today. Be confident. Be deliberate. Become the leader. Study and prove yourself to be an expert. Grab CDs, audios, books, and everything in your realm of expertise, and then step outside of that. Because I always bought sales books, but I should have been buying marketing books. Because if I better marketed myself, display my products, I would have to sell less, and I mean the actual process. I will be selling more of my products, services, concepts, or benefits, but if I became a master marketer, that would then do the work for me. And instead of taking an hour to present my product, instead of taking a whole weekend or a whole evening to sit there with a group of people who won't move on my recommendations and suggestions, my marketing would have weeded out certain individuals, and then my efforts could have been deliberately focused on my target market and to get more of my product and services out there with least effort. So I was buying all the sales philosophy and the sales books, but I wasn't thinking about the marketing component. McDonald's sell more hamburgers after they run an ad. Or they can have their manager stand in the parking lot and say, here, buy our hamburgers. The ad does the work for them. So, again, go out there and project confidence, become a leader, be an expert in your field, and most of all, people, become fearless. It works. Coach, with that being said, I'm done, but take it away.
Right, I'm here. I thought I was going to have to go out and shovel snow. Well, that was certainly a very, very, very powerful message on confidence. leaders need to be confident. People need to be confident to achieve greatness, to overcome just, you know, even simple things that seem so simple. Really, I tell you, that is really, really a good message, and I hope that a lot of people, you know, tune in and listen to the archives and refer your colleagues, partners, your friends to tune in and really get this message on confidence. I meet a lot of people that, you know, sometimes people are there in fear to do certain things and not even realizing that if they have more confidence, you know, so that's really a good word. Mr. Versi Walker, thank you. And thank you for bringing that to light. And want to just thank all of those who, you know, tuned in today. Yes, Patricia, I know the kids are home another day or two in the ice. And also, not sure how things are shaping up down in the north, in the southeastern parts of the country, in north and south, going toward the west, where our good friend Miss Kiva Renee is. I want to say good morning and welcome also to Miss Elaine Haskins and all the wonderful people in North Carolina. Not sure how things are panning out for you down in that area. But, yes, we know that the Northeast, my husband, believe it or not, is outside and shoveling away. Or should I say chiseling away.
I hear you.
Because the ice, unlike the snow, you can shovel the snow, but you have to chisel the ice. So we're going to be on a delayed entry going anywhere. I have no desire to get out there in the car and get on the road with other people who are out there and possibly in a rush. You know, you have those people who, I love them, they're wonderful. And they have to make it to work on time. That's great, that's wonderful. And they don't care how fast they drive. You know, they don't care who they, you know, scare off the road.
Not a good look. Not this week. It's not a good look.
Well, I see in some areas they have a 30 mile an hour restriction.
Yeah. And see, now I'm getting the rain now, and it's freezing.
Yes, two or three degrees in a lot of places. So I just wanted to, Mr. Paul Curiosi. I finally learned to say his name properly, Mr.
Okay.
Paul Curiosi. He said, great show, Mr. Walker.
Well, thank you. He and I chatted yesterday via Facebook. We posted back and forth to one another, so great. And you were in that chat, too. I think we were, you know, making sure our passports were ready to go to Tokyo. So, yes.
That's right. Get that passport in order. I've had a passport for the past 20 years, and that's the beautiful thing about having moved to the East Coast and marrying Brother Drew Williams. Shortly after we were married, he said to me, well, he probably, while we were even dating, so, do you have a passport? I'm like, are you kidding? So, do you know I just came here homeless? What are you talking about? That's what I'm saying to myself, but you know, I played it
correct.
All right.
Like, oh, you know what? I
have
to update it. Yeah, I got it. I'm going to have to get it updated and make sure you know that I got it updated. Yeah, I got a passport. What you asking me for? I got a passport.
I know, right? Didn't even know how to get a passport.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he worked for the airlines probably 5 or so years before we met, So he had already traveled around the world pretty much. But here I was. So, you know, God really has a sense of humor in the people that he hooks us up with. Because the first night we met, he was talking about going to Brazil and going down to there. Now, this is the night we meet. We're talking, you know, we're not talking about little small stuff. We're talking about traveling, right? So I said, well, this is the man I'm going to marry. That's what I said to myself, you know. I said, yeah, because I thought, you know, being the kind of woman I was and the places I had been in the world, I figured any man who just hasn't even known me an hour is talking about taking you to Brazil and appears to have the means to do it. I mean, you know, appears to be sincere.
Right.
About it. Because, you know, some people go out on dates and they meet people who tell them, oh, baby, I'm going to get you this, this, and that. And come on. These people don't even look like they can buy a loaf of bread.
Right.
So, you know. But that's maybe a whole other teaching I'll have to do on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But so here's this person carrying himself and appearing to be able to really do these things. I thought, yeah, this is it, y'all. And so he actually didn't make good on that. Go ahead.
All right. No, I was going to say, he just didn't know. You already had him. You had him at hello.
Yeah, I was ready. Listen, he just didn't know. My mother, I had prepared me from a child. My mother had taught me and my other sisters as little girls and young ladies that, you know, this is what you did in relationships. You know, you went to the museum. You, mm-hmm. you know, traveled to these places that, you know, Paris, Rome, London, those are the things I'm thinking about, you know,
right.
even though we were living in the projects in Cincinnati, Ohio. But, mm-hmm. you know, my mother, she made us watch Cinderella and Peter Pan, and so I believed in fairy tales.
Correct.
You see, and I thank her for that, you know. She made us watch Mary. As a matter of fact, we had all the Mary Poppins music, and we sang it every day. But I guess every kid did back then. I guess
oh, yeah.
some families did.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, just a spoonful of sugar made the medicine go down. Yeah,
you know
we
what?
Sang those songs.
You're okay. dating yourself now. You're dating. Some of these people online don't know what you're talking about. Some of these people online don't know
right.
what you're talking about.
We sang those songs around the house. We didn't even need the words after a while. We knew it by heart. You know, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. you know, even though I was busy dropping out of school and flunking out of school, but I wouldn't do any schoolwork at school, but at home, you know, this is what was in the background.
Correct.
And, you know, so, you know, these things, you know, they do, you still learn through what you're experiencing. So it was fun. But, so anyway, I had to, you were going up to the minute there, so I had just extended, you know, the show a little bit longer just to really get some, you know, kind of, afterthoughts, but that confidence, though, that's really, 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 really a key tool today. It's a key tool to have as a leader, as a business owner. You know, I met a lady the other day who has a business, and it seems like a very interesting business, but she said, you know, she came right out and told me that her problem was that she lacked confidence in herself. And so I've seen some other individuals, and I know I've experienced that as well, sometimes having great confidence in some things, but in other areas not having the confidence. So just really wanted to say that's a great topic. Now, we had our big announcement yesterday, Mr. Versi. Did you hear about it?
Yes. And again, the poster is phenomenal. I'm like, look at her doing things like this. Next level.
Next level. Hello.
Hey, so, I can tell you. I'm like, I'm in the lab. I'm trying to, you know, trying to keep up and stay up with you. And I'm like, you in the lab too, just producing and getting stuff done. So I love it.
Yes. Next level. So we're actually, I've been wanting to produce, you know, sort of a standard kind of a announcement flyer type thing to put out there about the guest coming on. Oh, yeah, and Friday we have Miss Terry Clay, who was here last Monday. She's coming back on with her powerful and motivational message and story. And for those of you who actually want to hear my interview from Mother Love, it was on the L.A. Talk. Mother Love has a radio show on the L.A. Talk Radio program. So if you would want to hear that, you would be able to do that. And it was a pretty fun show. She's pretty fun. And so that's going on there. I will have that downloaded, hopefully, sometime today. But if not, you can just go to their website, latalkradio.com. And don't forget, you sign up for the webinars that we'll be offering online for all these types of training. If you want to get leadership training, management training, you want help with understanding how to brand yourself. If you want to learn how to break those cycles, tune into the show. And so, well, you know what? We're going to wind this down because I think it's time for me to go shovel some ice too. So,
well, I thought you were going to make some hot cocoa while he shoveled. I thought you were going to make some hot chocolate.
Okay, there you go. That sounds like a very, very good idea and situation that I better go and do. So we gotta keep the family happy. So thank you again, Mr. Walker.
Thank you.
Those, yes, who are on the switchboard. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock a.m. we'll be right back here for another exciting show with Coach Lalisa and special guests. And don't forget, it is your goals that will take you to the destiny of your dreams. Be safe. Stay off the ice.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great, it's been real, it's been awesome, and you got to keep moving on up because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.